So the Nativity story, as we undoubtedly have sort of seen it over the years, and undoubtedly have been involved in playing it. And I wondered whether or not anyone who has been an angel in a Nativity, put your hand up now. Many of you have been angels. Anyone been like a star angel, like a Gabriel type? Hello, okay, there's a few, right, okay. And then what other things could you be? You could be shepherds. Anyone was a shepherd? Anyone been shepherds? Quite a lot of us are shepherds. Let's be honest. I was a shepherd, I don't know. I think I can get a bit, yeah. Anyway, I was a shepherd, all right. Anyone got the star roles? Anyone got Joseph? Anyone done Joseph? Hello, Thomas at the back. Yes, indeed, we have a Joseph in the house. And we're all dying to know, anyone played Mary? Oh! Wait a minute. Hang on. There is a bearded man at the back who has played Mary. That is brilliant. That is superb. Okay. Ah, I love the fact that you just came back for this Sunday and that's what happened to you at church. Great. Okay. Lovely to see you, Simon. We will ask the question later on, but no, not just now. Okay. Okay, who got to be a king? Anyone got to be a king? Yeah. Oh, hello. Some queens with their kings as well. Yes, one or two kings. Thank you at the back. Yes, lovely. Okay, so you guys got to be kings. Well, here's the Christmas shocker. Any of you who were kings and you were in the Nativity, pure made up nonsense. Oh, it's true. No, they were kings. They were kind of kings. Please don't get me wrong, but they didn't get to go to the nativity scene. They didn't actually get to the manger. The story that we hear in Matthew, which we're going to read Matthew 2 from verses 1 to 12, tells us about what happened to the kings, the magi, the kind of the wise men that came to follow Jesus. And today I want to talk about, I do want to talk about why a bearded man was Mary, but that'll come later privately. But I want to talk about the kings and the gifts that they brought, and I want to talk a wee bit about that question: what is it? What is the gift that you come to bring to the king this Nativity, this Christmas time? Okay. So let's read together from Matthew chapter 2, and reading from verses 1 to verse 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who is to be born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So the wise men didn't make it into the nativity scene, despite all our primary teachers' best efforts to shove them in. And obviously, it makes a nice, easy kind of story. What we find out as we read on, of course, is that Herod authorizes the killing of all of the boys in that area who are under the age of two. So we can surmise from that that it was a couple of years later, after the birth of Jesus, that the wise men eventually made it to where they were coming to, which was to the area of Jerusalem. They got close, okay? They got pretty close, because Bethlehem and Jerusalem are only 6 miles apart. So they almost nailed it first time. But they went to Jerusalem, which is because of the fact that actually Herod, who was the king at that time, obviously his throne was in Jerusalem. And so they went to where Herod was. And that's why they went there, and that's why they asked the questions. It's an interesting kind of question about who they were. They were apparently astronomers from the east. They traveled, they think, from Babylon or kind of the Persian kind of Gulf. They reckon it probably would have taken them the best part of 4 months to do the whole trip. Pretty determined. 4 months it would have taken them to travel all the way and all the way back again. And they did that because in the ancient world, a star symbolized, or the kind of moving of the kind of celestial body, symbolized a significant event that was happening on the earth. I did a bit of research, and a guy called Professor David Hughes from Sheffield University described what probably had happened, which was a triple conjunction. So a triple conjunction apparently is where the Sun, the Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn all align, okay? And then apparently when they move out of line again, it looks as though they go off in a different direction. And so basically, as a result of that, there's this incredible kind of aligning and then separating, which looks like a star moving in a particular direction and then changing direction. It happens once every 900 years, and it happened 2,000 years ago, around the time of the birth of Jesus. So now you'll know it's a triple conjunction. Okay, there you go. That's apparently the astronomological answer to the question, what happened to the stars? Thank you. Yep, that as well. Anyway, so they went and they followed the star, and they got as far as say, Jerusalem, which is pretty close, 6 miles away. Asked Herod, and I wonder what was going on at that particular moment. I think that they were off on a journey, which undoubtedly was important to them. It was undoubtedly an incredible experience for them to sort of see the star, to track it and all the rest of it. But I don't know whether or not it was truly a worshipful experience. I'm not sure what was going on. They did talk about it, and they sort of say, you know, we're going to go and we're going to pay homage to him and we're going to worship him and stuff like that. But I wonder whether or not they actually were there to make their name. You know, I wonder whether they are, you know, actually to kind of, you know, to discover this new star, to discover the story, whatever it was that was going on. They'd gone along and they'd actually kind of chatted to Herod. Herod had pulled everyone together, found out what was actually supposed to happen, which was go to Bethlehem, and that's where you'll find the child. And that's what they went to do. Because I think that the experience of encountering Jesus actually changed them. We'll come back to that in a minute. The gifts that they gave are well known: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, I think I was a king once. I'm pretty sure that I got a kind of like a gold box thing that I was supposed to kind of present, you know, reverentially to the plastic baby, you know, in the manger that we had in our school. And the gifts that they gave were very interesting. I saw that. I suppose that was one of the reasons why, in particular, I thought it would be interesting just to watch a wee bit of that clip there. Very interesting to see how the kings actually approached Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Very interesting, you know, in what they said. So first of all, the gold was given, and the gold was symbolic of his. He said, "This is for the King of Kings." You know, it was a symbol of his royalty. It was a symbol of who he was in his majesty. And even though he was born a child in a manger, they recognized this is God who has made flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, King of Kings. And so he was honored with the gold. And then the frankincense, he said, this is for the priest of priests. Frankincense was kind of a resin which was used to make into, basically it was put in burnt offerings to make them smell nice. And so frankincense was given as a symbol that this would be the priest of priests. What is a priest? Well, a priest is someone who mediates a relationship between us and God. This was the priest of priests. This was the one who would be the mediator of a new relationship between ourselves and God. That's why he was given the frankincense. But the film was really interesting. I don't know if you noticed how unsure the third king was as he came to give his gift, the gift of myrrh. Because myrrh, of course, is a symbol of death. It's actually used for embalming bodies. It's a resin that's supposed to help to make the bodies both be preserved but also to smell better. And as he very uncertainly, I think, steps forward, bows forward, he says, you know, this is to honor the sacrifice that is to come. And so even at the point of his infancy, Mary and Joseph knew this boy was something that was beyond themselves. This boy was born to die, but more than that, as we know. The story is an interesting one because it always fascinates me, the kind of question of, you know, what is the gift that we are going to give to Jesus? And I want to come again onto that in a moment. We're going to just watch another wee video just in a moment. But the thing I wanted to kind of just sort of say before I moved on from that was, do you notice how the kings, well, the wise men, how they were changed? The experience changed them. It did. It didn't. Because I don't think that they were any more on this glorious adventure to discover the star, to have it perhaps named after themselves or whatever it was that was going on, or to suddenly have this place within of honor within what was going on with Herod and the other folks that were there, because they went back another way. The encounter with Jesus changed them forever. The encounter with Jesus changed them forever. It changed their life. You know, it caused them to be different from what they were before. And as we come to this Christmas season, as we come to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, you know, again, we ask ourselves, as we encounter Jesus in the midst, as he is here, and as we can meet with him, how will that encounter change us? How will we be transformed, just as the kings were transformed? Probably one of the most well-known Christmas carols many of us have sung when we put on our tea towels and did all the other things around those nativity scenes that we're remembering back now, was a song called a carol called "In the Bleak Midwinter." Which always seems a really sort of funny song, actually, if you think about it, because I'm pretty sure that in the Middle East it does get chilly at night, but I'm not sure how much snow there was. But anyway, we'll kind of give that a wee bit of a pass, because I want us to kind of just listen to this song and think about this song, because it answers the question, you know, what is the gift that God actually wants us to give as we meet together and as we celebrate this Christmas time?